Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Don Ziviello and Michael Coral of Locality Gallery, right here in Bedford, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Sometime back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
All right, we are about to embark on a journey into the arts. In all of the time that we have done this program, I don't think I have ever interviewed anyone from this particular endeavor, so I am very excited to have two guests, Don Ziviello of the Off Pitt Street Production Company and Michael Coral of Locality Gallery. These two entities are actually related but unrelated, and we're going to hear all about that. But I am in this magnificent industrial space, which is directly beneath the OIP pizza store. No, you've probably never seen this unless you've been here for a production or have been in to the gallery to see some of the things that they present here. But these two people represent probably the leading art directors of Bedford County, because I know you've heard Michael's name. He's very involved in several organizations, including the Heritage Trust here in Bedford, where we've had actually two programs about that particular thing. So first of all, let me welcome Michael. Michael, thank you very much for letting us come to your house for just a few minutes this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
And Dawn, it's a pleasure to meet you. I understand you're a native New Yorker, Brooklynite, the real deal.
Yes, and I am. So, nice to meet you as well.
It's always good to meet another foreigner.
Thank you.
I understand that I am a foreigner. I will always be a foreigner, and
likewise,
that's just the way it is. So
I go back to the 1780s.
And so. You go back to the 1780s. Yes, yeah. I know. Well, I want you to know that some people, especially people who live east of here, like in Brooklyn or Philadelphia, actually have also ancient roots, but
yes,
we don't discuss it so much as you guys.
Well, you know, I could take you to the gravestones.
Oh, yeah, sure you can. Anyway, so Michael is from an old family here in Bedford County, as we've just heard. So tell me, when did you become interested in this whole matter of art production and arts in general?
Oh, wow, that's a pretty heavy question. Well, I guess I've always been artistically inclined, personally. I was heavily a drawer and creative type all since I was a young child all the way up. I chose to go to design school as opposed to fine art school. I have a couple different design school degrees, which I have used.
Where did you go to school?
I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. Okay. I have a bachelor's in industrial design and an associate's in media arts and animation. So basically I wrapped media skills, technical design skills up into a more tangible field of industrial design. But I actually run a web design company, and most of what the work I do now is web design, at least to make a living.
Right.
But simultaneously with my art education, I also spent a long time teaching. I'm a Eagle Scout, and I spent my whole youth running programs and working with younger kids. And that dovetailed into me working at the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh when I first moved to Pittsburgh. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the team that took that museum from a small regional museum into what is now one of the top 10 children's museums in the country. I went from working on the floor there to developing specialty exhibit components and education programs. And I actually built the first makerspace there, though we didn't call it a makerspace at the time. It was just a workshop. But that has since blossomed and grown as the movement has grown sort of around it. When circumstances brought me back with my family to Bedford, which is where I'm from and was raised, we became involved in the arts here and saw opportunities for things that we could take further. We had the opportunity to take over an antique gallery from some very good friends of ours. It was actually a space that I had run. It's called Cabin Fever. It's created by the Defebaugh family, and they did an amazing job. And we couldn't really be here even today without what they had started. Yeah. But upon taking that over in 2011, we transformed it from just a sort of merchandise space into a space that was actively creating arts programming and bringing in dynamic artists to the area, but also kind of digging out dynamic artists in the
area. A true artist, Michael is getting way ahead of our conversation here.
Well,
but hold
that's
that thought,
I
because I want to go over just for a minute to introduce Dawn. And Dawn, you're a New Yorker by birth, but when did you get to Bedford?
I moved to Bedford in 1997. I've been here a long time.
Oh, well, that's, some
as
people
you said,
say
it,
so.
It doesn't count.
Some people wouldn't say that isn't that long.
Yes,
but
I've been here since 1997.
Super. And how did you get involved in all of this?
I have been raised by, my father is actually an artist. He was the art supervisor at the Vanderbilt Planetarium in Centerport, New York. And so I've been raised around artists my whole life. My mother ran the lights at the Airport Playhouse in New York as well.
Right.
So my apprenticeship in the art in theater specifically started when I was 7 years old. And I came up off Broadway my entire childhood, basically.
Right.
And then when I went away to college, I continued to pursue theater arts through community theater. And I'm a member of the Alpha Psi Omega Theater Honorary. And I just continued it forever. It's a lot of
fun. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Slippery Rock University. I have a master's in linguistics and communication. I taught college at Allegheny College of Maryland and Mount Aloysius for 17 years.
Boy.
And so specializing in the classics, literature being a favorite of mine.
And now you're the director of the Off Pitt Street, so this might be a little more fun.
Yeah, I love teaching. I love teaching very much, and I still have great contact with many, many of the students that I've taught over the years. And I did start teaching drama in Bedford area school districts way back in the early 2000s at the Bedford Middle School. I taught a drama club. I also assisted with the Shakespeare club that was happening at the time. And so people knew me as someone who did theater in town and did lots of different things with it. But no, Off Pitt Street, it was a really organic beginning. It was just a bunch of young people that started showing up at my house saying, hey, we know you know stuff about theater and we want you to teach us. And then they started coming all the time. And then it was like 25, 30 people. And my house is a nice size house, but it's not that big. And I basically said, well, you know, okay, if we can find a home, I will take this on and I will start a theater company, because I saw a real need for non-musical classical theater, because if you can't sing but you can act, there really wasn't much for you to do. So we really sought to change
that.
Well,
you know, I've done, this I think is our 90th program, this program we've done here.
Congratulations.
And sometimes when we have guests, I have trouble getting them to talk, but I knew this would not be a problem today.
No, you'll have to rein us in a little bit.
So I'm really glad. So I wanted you to meet Dawn, and I wanted you to meet Michael so you could hear what they're doing, and you can hear a little bit of the passion in their voice about what they do. Every artist and actor I've ever met certainly shares that quality. You're listening to Bedford County Speaks, and we want to thank very much Dawn and Michael for joining us. I wanted to remind you that Bedford County Speaks today is sponsored in part by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce. The Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. And also by the Delaware County Visitors and Tourist Bureau in Delaware County. So I want to kind of dig in a little bit about what you're doing right here and now. When I first came here, I met you, Michael. I think we hadn't even moved here yet. We were kind of scooping the town out. And I remember going down into that gallery of yours and seeing all this cool mechanical art. I myself am not an artist by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm a fairly good electronics technician, so I thought one day it would be cool to emulate some of the electronic art that I've seen. And I made an art piece once, a sculpture piece, out of an audio transformer and two triode vacuum tubes.
I'd love to see that.
And my children thought the whole thing was ridiculous, but I had fun with it, and it was fun because I could solder and things like that. I knew how to do it.
We probably have a space for that here.
So when I came into your shop and I saw, oh, wow, this guy's got stuff kind of looks like what I did. You know, they got plumbing and gauges and meters and things, and I thought, this is my kind of place. So tell me how that started, not just that particular kind of sculpture, but what you did in that gallery and when you first started like this, at least when I first saw it.
Yeah, well, what we were talking about a little bit, we took over in 2011 from existing space. I maintained the relationships with those kinds of pickers and dealers and things like that, but what we did was immediately start to identify other artists that we wanted to show. And what was really great about the space, it was almost... kismet, really. I mean, artists would kind of find us, or they would stumble in because they came to town, or someone would know an artist and they would say, oh, you have to know this person, you got a show here, or an artist would come and be like, I have to be here. And you know, I started to get people's phones, you know, because now every artist just has like 25 pictures of their art on their phones, right? So the first foray into what you're seeing as the upcycled industrial artwork, it was a show we put together called The Industrial Show. And The Industrial Show featured 8 artists from around Pennsylvania and actually one young, very talented stop-motion animator from right here in Bedford. What these artists are doing, I think, is they're really identifying that new nostalgia. We are certainly, personally, my wife and I, were much more interested in machine age work and early industrial work than we were even in the very awesome and very interesting American primitives that we had sort of kind of inherited through the gallery, because that's what the gallery used to deal with. Right. It wasn't ours. And so I got a real education on all of that stuff, 17th and 18th century furniture, Bedford County furniture, things like that. But the industrial pieces were where we were interested in. So there are all these other incredible artists out there that are working in that. And it just really fit our vibe and what we wanted for the gallery. And we're unique from other galleries, for instance, like an Arts Council type gallery that is completely bare and then they put the new show in, and then it's completely bare and they put the new show in. We carry ongoing quite a few of the artists that we have shown for one time. Now, it's not everybody, but we do have sort of a permanent collection, if you will, of available artwork for sale as we continue to work with these artists. And then simultaneously, we'll stage brand new shows over top of that. So you're always probably going to find industrial artwork here, as long as industrial artists are still interested in carrying their work here, which they haven't given us any reason to think otherwise.
Well, we have a very strong Voc-Tech community here, and that's why I thought it might just fit in with that. We are going to come back, and when we come back, we're going to learn about some of the things that these folks are doing specifically here, and some of the astonishing new plays and productions that are coming up as Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Perhaps while driving around Bedford County lately, you may have noticed our current outdoor billboards. Stephanie March, general manager of Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, knows better than anyone about our mission of total satisfaction. When we talk about our 7 ways to save, we mean not only are we saving you money, but also saving you some time and aggravation. Our attention to complete satisfaction makes sure you're happy with our vehicles and service, which keeps us happy to have a loyal customer. Our 7 ways to save is a process to ensure you have complete information to make the decision that's best for you when you purchase a car or truck. We encourage you to visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru right here in Bedford and see for yourself why our goal is your complete satisfaction. Visit us on Business Route 220 north of Bedford or visit us 24/7 online at thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Mary Pat Bean of Bean Creative Design, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
Our guest from this cavernous space that we're in is Don Zaviello and Michael Coral, both of which we are speaking to in the Locality Gallery right here on the beautiful Juniata River, or how do they call it?
It's the Raystown branch of the Juniata River.
I've got to find out where these other branches are. I've never been able to find any other
They're
branches.
They're like over there.
I know. We'll get a local to do that. We'll find someone like Michael Coral, who's been here since 1770. He can tell us that.
1780.
Excuse me, 1780. All right. Anyway, we want to kind of move ahead here and talk about what is going on in this room and in other rooms around Bedford. And I understand you have a production coming up, Dawn, called Where Was the Lion?
Yes, we do.
So what? That sounds interesting. Is it about lions, or what is this about?
It's a Christmas tale, and it redresses the story of the manger scene and all the people that came to see the birth of Jesus, and it actually asks a question, and a little girl asks a question. She loves lions, and she wants to know, how come with all the animals and people that went to see Jesus, there wasn't a lion there? Because he's the king of the jungle. Wouldn't he want to meet the king of kings? And this show answers that question, and you get to see there was, in fact, a lion there, and you get to see why he's not recorded in history.
What a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a great play.
Fun, this is your play, right? You're the playwright of the show?
Yes, this is a nationally published play through Stage Plays that I wrote back in, I think it was 2006.
And how many actors and actresses do you have?
We have 11 in this production, and some of them play multiple parts, which kind of adds to the depth and flavor of the story. There's some layering and metaphor that I think people will find really interesting if they think about it, but it's really sweet, very heartwarming. There is some, you know, traditional Christmas music in it, and I think people will really enjoy it. So we're actually in Tech Week, which is, you know, we open this Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
You're going to open tonight, Saturday, and mm-hmm. What time are you going to open tonight?
At 7 o'clock we open the show.
Okay. Yep. So tonight you have to be here at 7 o'clock, and can you pay at the door and all of that?
Yes, you can buy tickets at the door. It's $5 for students and seniors, and that also includes college students. Uh-huh. We don't want to be economically prohibitive to anyone, and it's $10 for adults.
Oh, well, that's... I mean, you can spend more money at the pizza store
exactly.
Upstairs here. I mean, come on.
And we hope you do.
This is nothing. And so you, Michael, you stage these kind of productions rather routinely here.
Well, what we try to do is create a multi-purpose creative space. I mean, it's a full-time gallery, but these other entities and organizations, they need a sometime place. What's unique about our place is that when you come to this show, you're inside a very dynamic, if I say so for myself, a very dynamic art gallery as well. And everything you see on the walls and everything else is for sale and was made by someone, and I can tell you all about it. And but that just... I think serves to flavor the experience of
and
whatever
also,
these artists
not to interrupt
are.
Michael, but also our set. Yeah. Our set is 80% art that's for sale, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah. How many people can you put in this space?
About 50.
50. Yeah, that's a good size.
Yeah, yeah. Our productions are small. I mean, we're not a big, you know, barn theater or anything mm-hmm. like that. And for that reason, Don is able to go elsewhere.
Right. And it's intimate. So you have... an intimate space. And by the way, Michael's making faces about the noises you're hearing in the background, but you have to understand, we record all these shows on location so
okay.
we can get okay. the ambiance.
Okay, wonderful. That
and
was ye old cell phone.
I did a show at
the
Book Tech Center, and you talk about noise.
Yes.
So
okay.
this is nothing. So anyway, so this is interesting. So you have these productions planned for obviously the Christmas show that Dawn's going to produce, and then you have some stuff in 2017. So
right before 2017,
right, the
New
eve
Year's Eve, okay,
yes.
New Year's Eve,
literal Eve,
yes.
and
right.
the eve of the eve right. on December 30th and 31st, we are staging what is definitely the most unique production ever staged in Bedford County.
Here.
Modestly
at locality.
Here. Modestly
at this space. Definitely.
At this space.
Yes.
No, I don't know. No, it's really great. This is Atomic Radio, and Atomic Radio is live staged radio shows. We feature classics from science fiction. These were radio plays originally written in the 1950s by some of history's greatest science fiction writers, Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov, and a slew of others. And with Don's help, this is very much a collaborative project, even more so than some of the others between Locality Gallery and Off Pitt Street Productions. And We have cast that with our current actors, and they will be here. It's at 9 o'clock. It's a later show, so go eat dinner, have a celebration, and come out. It is a
$10. Yes,
it's, yeah, it's a $10 show also, and it is
December 30th and December 31st,
and we are going to have a little New Year's Eve soiree after the second
show.
Be
well fueled, will it be?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. But it should be an incredible time.
So. I'm particularly excited about this because obviously I'm prejudiced of being in radio, and radio drama has been attempted to be reintroduced several times. I remember in the 1970s and 80s, the CBS Radio Network came up with something that they wanted to do it all over again. So they came back and did a dramatic radio series for over 3 years. And it was called the CBS Radio Theater, and they ran it at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
And this was in the 80s and 90s, really quite extraordinary. Spent a fortune, lost a fortune, and stopped doing it. But it was a wonderful experiment, and I've often wondered if it would work again. And on another program, I'll explain to you why it doesn't work, because it talks about the paradigm shift of the way people listen to radio. But the production, the actual dramatic production, is well worth seeing, especially if you come here and do it.
One of the things that we're really looking forward to is the voice actors will be dressed as 1950s radio stars.
Oh, you got to do that.
We're doing that up. So the whole ambiance is going to be very retro. And
what you're really getting is not so much the experience of what it was like to be in the 1950s and hear it on the radio, but those select few people that were in the live studio audiences for those radio shows, that's who you get to be.
Exactly.
So you're seeing what they saw with, you know, I mean, we're just actors with our scripts. There's going to be people running around.
It's raw.
There's going to be Foley art.
Sure, right.
You know, there's all these sound effects and music cues and things like that. And if I can say about the plays, I mean, a lot of people think, oh, 1950s, but these plays are dynamic.
They are so relevant today.
Yeah, extremely relevant. They talk about prejudice and all of these different issues.
Economics.
That are completely current. And frankly, they're almost eerie in some of the sort
prophetic.
Of predictive ways. Yeah, because you got to remember, these guys were imagining what the future was like based on what they saw around them in that time.
Right.
So we are living in that future. Now, we might not have a green alien next to us, but
that we know of.
That we know of. Maybe we do, but come to Atomic Radio and find out. But everything else, it was just really a narrative ability to talk about something that was significant.
And these voice actors, they are so talented, and they're very. It's just so entertaining. Auditions alone, I mean, they were just. It was so much fun to watch them play with persona and do it spontaneously. That this is going to be a very lightly rehearsed production because we really want to maintain the integrity of the spontaneous moment.
Well, one of the things that you have to understand is that back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when this stuff was really hot, especially in New York and Los Angeles where most of the stuff was produced, these actors had to dress up in costume, and they had to have a live audience. Otherwise, it would have been dead as a doornail.
Right.
You can't go into a cold studio and do this. You need to have the whole audience interaction, and if one of the characters was a police officer, he dressed up as a cop, because otherwise how could he be a cop if he wasn't dressed up as one? So it transmits the whole way that they are acting in this story into the radio, complete with the costumes, even though you can't see it. That's often a hard concept for people to understand, but it does work. So if you want to see a cool show, you got to come to Atomic Radio. This is 9 o'clock on the 30th and 31st in just a few days.
Yep.
Super duper.
That's
okay.
Right.
Boys. So you have some other things going on. What is a 50 Shades of Shakespeare? Who's going to tell me about that?
Donald,
50 Shades of Shakespeare.
Is this one of your plays?
Yes,
too? Okay.
This is something that I'm writing. One of the reasons I enjoy so much working with scripts that are classic and in the public domain is I can play with them and I can mold them to fit what I'm trying to do. And 50 Shades of Shakespeare is obviously a takeoff on the very popular cult classic 50 Shades of Grey, but all it really does is it follows a very thin plot line, and what it does is it introduces the audience to the most intense romantic scenes of all of Shakespeare. So you basically get to experience the passion, the loss, the desperation of Shakespeare in this kind of fun, you know, bite-sized scenario where you don't have to sit for a 2.5 hour production of a Shakespeare play that might intimidate some people, and it does intimidate some people. This is going to draw an audience out of curiosity who then are going to be captivated, I hope, by what Shakespeare has been able to do with character and romance. And it's perfect. It's for Valentine's Day, obviously. So we're going to have some nice chocolate desserts and that sort of thing. But I really, my motto in doing Shakespeare, which we do a full Shakespeare production every year, is that Shakespeare is for everyone. And the way I stage Shakespeare is so that it is relevant and it is modern and it is powerful and sometimes, you know, devastatingly funny.
Right.
But this is just kind of an introduction. I'm hoping to draw an audience that might have been like, oh, I hated Shakespeare in high school. I couldn't understand any of it. Exactly. But by combining it with the phenomenon that was 50 Shades of Grey, I'm thinking we're going to get some real curious spectators, and they're going to be surprised by how relevant it is.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
Thank you.
And you have a one more thing I want to cover here, because we're a little short on time here. The new public show, Michael?
Yeah. Well, we're announcing our next public call to artists, which is something we try to do about once a year. As I mentioned, we do invitational shows and work with solo artists and exhibitions, but we like to actually reach out to the public. So this year's show is called A Show of Love, and we feel like it's incredibly relevant for the time, again. You know, love is a powerful force that transcends everything, religion, politics, culture, gender, you know, wealth, everything. And, you know, it's easy to be divided by loud, singular voices, and we don't feel that that is what we, the world that we live in or the world we represent. And, you know, there's been a call to artists just in general that it's time for them to stand up and make their voices heard. So we hope that this show will be inspiring to a lot of people and inspiring to artists who want to submit work to it. So A Show of Love, we will be publishing information about it here in December, and the show will open at the beginning of February and run through March. And we, you know, hope people can come out and support it.
Okay, we need a little billboard. You have a website where everyone can see all this? Okay,
we have a couple.
Like 18.
For theater, you can just visit offpittstreet.com. It's easy to remember. It's like off-Broadway.
Okay, off-street.
And
Pitt Street.
We also do a collaborative Facebook page through Locality and the Bedford Arts Cooperative, so there's a lot of information there.
So that's where we can learn about these productions and the
Facebook
schedules.
Facebook is really ground zero.
Facebook?
I mean, if you want to follow what we're doing, we have Locality Gallery on Facebook.
And you can follow it.
And off Pitt Street on Facebook, and, and Friday Night Music on Facebook, which is another
thing. Well, I hate to tell you this, but we're out of time. We could go on for several hours here, but maybe we should come back and do the other half of the show someday.
We would love that.
Please do.
Any event, I want to thank both of you. You've just been magnificent and gracious to have me here. And Michael Coral and Don Zaviello have been wonderful on the program today, and we hope very much that we can come back. And maybe after some of these shows, we can come back and do like a little critique or something.
That would
something
be
like
great.
That'd be kind of fun.
That's wonderful.
Thank okay,
so
well,
much.
Thank you both. And it was a delight to come here. And this has really been exciting for me. I've never done this since I've been in Bedford, so you've kind of broken the ground for me.
thank you very much.
Fantastic.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru on Route 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
From far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, ventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand would-be worlds. Off Pitt Street Productions and Locality Gallery and Workshop present Atomic Radio!
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.